Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and it's great to have you with me today. We're talking a lot about balance today as we meet corporate wellness expert Crystal Bauer, who knows a thing or two about balancing our lives, and Kimberly Perry, the founder of Bounce, the mini trampoline fitness brand. If you've ever done a workout on a trampoline, you'll know what I mean about balance. But as Kim tells us, there are many more benefits to be had. And if you're looking for balance of a different kind, that's where I can come in. I offer an energy clearing or healing that helps rebalance your system so that it can heal. It's relaxing and non-invasive, and so much so that clients feel like they've just had a massage. I always say they have an energetic massage. If you'd like to experience that, head over to safehavenhealing.uk to find out more and book some time with me. But back to Crystal Bauer. Crystal spent many years as a clinician in healthcare before she entered into the speaking and media space to share her messages around corporate wellness, leadership, mindset, performance, personal development, and success generally. She has a background in integrative psychiatry and integrative medicine, and Crystal founded her educational and media wellness platform, Live Greatly, in 2019. We kicked off our conversation with a take on work-life balance, a term neither of us particularly likes. Crystal, it's lovely to have you on the show. Now, you're a corporate wellness expert, but one of the things that you do talk about a lot is what we have called up until now work-life balance. And I think we're both agreed that that's a bit of an outdated term, or rather it's a term that doesn't really mean much in today's world. What's your take on it?
Yes. Well, first of all, JJ, thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here with you. And this is a topic that's close to my heart. So I used to think that work-life balance was the answer. Like that was it. You have work-life balance, you're happy.
Yeah.
And I realized that striving for this like ideal work-life actually wasn't practical. And it does not equal happiness. I mean, you can have great work hours and you can have other things in your life, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be fulfilled. So I really started to take a closer look at this. And for me now, I like to embrace more of a work-life integration model and a work-life harmony model.
Yes.
I'm all for balance, but I think it's more about an internal balance, an inner balance, meaning, purpose, fulfillment, doing things that really light you up, that are in alignment with things that are really meaningful to you. And, you know, not just segmenting all that good stuff to certain hours of the day. It's like living your life, whether you're working on professional things or personal things, in a certain way with certain priorities, and trying to have high quality moments in your personal professional life. So I did a TEDx talk on this topic, which was redefining work-life balance in a COVID-19 world, because I think COVID really brought this to the forefront for a lot of people, where the boundaries between like this is the time I work. This is the time I'm with family. They were all blurred because everybody was in their homes, right? And now I do a lot of keynote speaking and talking with companies about this topic, you know, how to really find whatever that work-life balance means in the sense of fulfillment and happiness, where you feel like you're really fulfilled with your family time, your personal time, and your career.
Well, I think such a good observation about COVID, first of all, because that really did blur the lines, didn't it? And everybody, well, not everybody, but some people found it really hard to work out what they're supposed to do in those circumstances. But you've just articulated beautifully something which has come up for me lately. And that is, you know, a friend of mine, a dear swimming pal, swimming buddy, who regularly would ask me, how's work? And I'd kind of go, I don't know how to answer that, because I don't really see my life delineated by a work thing here and a balance thing there, or a life thing there. You know, for me, it is this balance that's integrated into the way I spend my time hour by hour, day by day. It's not like work is something that comes off a shelf at 9 o'clock in the morning and then goes back on the shelf at 5 p.m., right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy for people to forget, or to, you know, when people are not really fully expressing themselves at work, when they're not really fully enjoying their job, it is work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess the trick is to find joy in everything that you do, work or play.
That would be amazing. I mean, I think that that's really hard for a lot of people, and I get it. And I think people who are able to work for themselves, you know, which I'm doing now, but I used to work in healthcare, so that was a very different arena. But when you have more control over your schedule, I think that allows a lot more opportunity to really navigate this well. But when your schedule is more dictated by your boss or the company that you work for, then I think it's really important, number one, to set healthy boundaries, and two, to incorporate these things that you love into your work day, whatever that, maybe you do have certain hours that your company or your team expects you to be on the clock, where you need to be really responsive with things. And it's figuring out, like, uniquely how you can do that in a way that makes you feel good and that gives meaning and purpose to what you're doing day in, day out. So I think this is a really unique personal journey for each person to figure out how to do that.
And I think a lot of people is even more difficult because they have had it drummed into them that you get a good job, you stick with it, you don't move on because you don't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? It's a job, isn't it? And I think, you know, this job insecurity is a real thing right now, right? So I think it's a big challenge for a lot of people, don't you think?
I do. And I think part of this is taking time to reflect and to think about, like, am I happy and fulfilled with my career path right now? And if the answer is no, okay, well, what can I do about it? You know, is there a way that I can get a little bit more excitement into my career path? And maybe that's setting goals for yourself. Maybe it's having a talk with your team leader. You know, these are my aspirations. How can I get there? Maybe taking on something new that you'll be really excited about. But I do feel like it's important to reflect on this and to have open dialogue with your team and your boss or whoever is leading your group about, you know, these are things that I'm really excited about, or these are some ideas that I have. And just to keep things exciting, you know, if you're doing the same thing day in, day out, that, you know, that can be a little bit boring after a certain period of time if you're not able to continue to grow. So I think growth, professional growth, personal growth is really important.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's incredibly frustrating and demoralizing and, you know, just absolutely, it pulls you down, right? If you are just doing the same thing day in, day out, and just getting bored rigid by the humdrum routine. And so sometimes, yeah, there's not a lot that you can do within the workplace to change that very often, but maybe look for for other places where you can find some joy, right, in that day-to-day routine that might lift it a bit for you. Again, we've said it already more than once today. It's not that easy for a lot of people, though.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. One thing I'm a big fan of is taking micro breaks. So, you know, you may not have a big chunk during the day where you can go do something that you really, really want to do, but you can find 3, 4, 5 minutes here and there to get these little bits of excitement and fun into your work day. So I think it's thinking about what do you love? Maybe it's listening to your favorite song, you know, putting your headphones in, taking a moment, but integrating that regularly, I think, is really important. You know, taking a little walk, if you can, getting outside, getting some fresh air, and trying something new. Maybe you've just been doing the same thing over and over, but you can do it in a new way. Mm. So maybe, you know, you can take that call on a walk, right? Or, you know, try something new. Like you have a break, maybe try going to a new cafe, or just add some fresh, exciting things into your work life to make it more exciting and more enjoyable for you.
Yes. And if you do work for yourself and you are working from home, let's say, then not feel guilty either about taking a break.
Hmm. So important. And it's recognizing too, JJ, that when you do take a break, you likely are going to show up more productive afterwards. We have this idea, it's like an old idea, like this work ethic, I think, that a lot of people feel like bad if you're not giving, you know, 1,000,000% all the time and, you know, grind it out and all these phrases that we hear. When it comes down to it, like, that's counterproductive. And there's research to support that, you know, when you are not taking breaks, that can increase stress, that can decrease engagement. So when you do take breaks, everyone wins. But it's sometimes hard to remember that in the moment. And I've done this myself. Like, if I feel like I need to get something done and I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's not flowing for me at the moment. And this sometimes happens with writing for me. It's not flowing right now. Okay, but I need to do it. And, you know, I'll take a break or I'll take a walk after I finish this. But my work would be better if I took a breather and then I came back to it with a fresh mind, fresh mindset, a little bit renewed, versus like the quality is not as great if I don't do that. So I think it's just remembering that in the moment when you're feeling that sense of pressure.
Yeah, I think that is very true. And I know that if I'm stuck, if I need to write something and I'm stuck, if I just not even take a break, just do something else that's completely different for a while. Just move on to something else. All right. You know, that's not coming. Move on to something else. But as a journalist for years, I know that, you know, we didn't have that luxury on newspapers and magazines to say, oh, you know, I've got writer's block. I just can't write anything at the moment. So you just had to write something. And here's the trick I always give people who say, oh, I get stuck on the first paragraph. Just put anything you like down in the first paragraph and then it starts to float. Go back and rewrite the first paragraph. Mm-hmm. And that usually works. But yes, I mean, in a work-life balance context, I don't even like that phrase anymore because I think it's so outdated. I mean, what do you think about the actual phrase work-life balance?
It makes me feel a little stressed. It's supposed to give an idea of like, oh, this is relaxing. I've got this free time to do things I enjoy. I have time with my family, time for the things that I love, and time to have a flourishing career. But for whatever reason, this idea of work-life balance made me feel a sense of pressure because, you know, juggling work with a family and kids. And at the time when I was really trying to embrace this model, I was getting my fellowship in integrative medicine. So I was doing these online classes and, you know, just going through all this, navigating all these different things. And it made me feel guilty. Like, am I not doing a good enough job? You know, if I'm not focusing on this right now and I'm focusing on that. And I just felt a sense of pressure and it didn't feel realistic for me with that chapter in my life. And I think I would have embraced more was, again, this idea of like work-life harmony or work-life integration, where it was more about like, do I feel fulfilled right now and how I'm managing my time? Or, you know, And what are the quality of the moments that I have? And am I spending my days doing things that are meaningful to me? Because in reality, depending on what chapter you are in your life, different things are going to require more of your time. And so I think it's being realistic with ourselves and then just trying to make sure that we are including those things that are important to us in our everyday life.
Yeah, very good point. And for me, it's the separation of work from life, because in my mind, work is life, you know, part of life. It's one of the parts of life, right?
Yes.
So that's what really grates with me, is this kind of idea that I do this separate thing called work, which has to come into balance with life, but it's part of life. So it just completely messes with me. You know, I just don't get it at all. And I don't think I ever have. You know, it became quite fashionable when a few decades back to talk about work-life balance, but I never really quite got it. Integration, lovely. Life balance, lovely. But work-life balance, it doesn't work for me. Yeah.
Yes, I'm right there with you. And, you know, this is something that I've also struggled with this, especially when I started branching off on my own. And now all the things that I'm working on, they're like an expression of things that I am really passionate about. And now when my kids have asked me, like, Mom, are you done with work? I've had this conversation, like, well, work, it feels very, it's different for me. It feels very different for me. These are things that I'm really excited about. You know, it's, was trying to have that conversation of this idea of work in a lot of people's minds, I think, is like the grind, you know? Like, you know, you don't want to do it. It's work. You know, you have to do it. I'm like, I want to do this, right? So let's talk about, okay, how much more time am I going to be spending on this? And then we can move over to, you know, that activity that we're going to be doing next together. So I think it's, I used to view it in a different way, again, when I was working in the healthcare space where I wasn't, I guess, my own boss. And now that I am my own boss, I view it very differently.
Interesting. I wonder, how do you look at your life in terms of work and non-work? Well, we'll hear more from Crystal Bauer on the matter in a few minutes. First, it's time to hear from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ Stenhouse, the practical alchemist, and my first guest today, Crystal Bauer. We're talking about balance, life balance, and what that looks like day to day. Now, I don't always follow the usual working hours template that a lot of people do, and I wondered if Crystal was the same. And you find that you do things maybe at different times of the day. So rather than working, as we've said, 9 to 5, let's say, or having set hours, you find yourself thinking, well, I have to do this morning, or I can take it easy this morning because I'm going to be doing this later. And, you know, and I want to just balance out the day.
It's, right. You have the flexibility to decide how you want to arrange your day and schedule your day. And that makes a lot of sense, JJ. And I think what's important to recognize for people now, too, is I don't know if everyone is really recognizing that a lot of businesses, not all, but a lot of businesses are more open to a more flexible work schedule post-COVID. And I've seen this with different keynotes that I've given when there's been a kind of an interactive part at the end where people have shared some of their concerns or responses to some of the things that we've talked about. And what comes up for me now is there is one woman who talked about, I'm feeling stressed because I have to get my kids off to school and I have to do all these things in the morning, but I need to clock in by this time and I'm feeling overwhelmed. And her boss was there and he said, oh my gosh, I didn't realize you were going through that. Let's talk because you can clock in later. We can adjust your hours as long as you're getting the work done. We can move this stuff around. So I think sometimes there's this idea that there's this rigidity, and maybe there is for some people, but in certain situations, I think leaders and companies are becoming a little bit more open to having these discussions about, is there flexibility around my work hours and when it makes more sense for me to get things done through, day to day?
Yes, I think that's probably one of the few benefits of COVID-19 was that people began to realize that work does not have to be the way it's always been for the majority of people, right? And that we can be more flexible, and that it doesn't mean like a huge drop in the bottom line. The bottom line is still kind of quite healthy, and yet your workforce is doing a much more flexible job and arrangement. So, yeah, I think. And of course, a lot of companies, particularly here in the UK, decided that, we don't need that expensive office if people can work part time from home.
Yeah. I know. I think that it's interesting. But like you said, is it work if I'm working later? Or I think as long as you get done what you set out to get done, whatever's expected, whatever's necessary, get that done. But I do feel very strongly that if possible, group leaders, team leaders, leaders of companies, organizations should give their team members more flexibility to be able to decide when it works best for them to be able to work. Because that's going to lead to more inner balance, more fulfillment, more happiness, and, I think also help with employee retention too.
Yes, and we're not all on the same cycle in terms of our biorhythms either. I mean, for some people like me, some people are night owls, right? And some people are early birds, and there's no getting away from it. It used to kill me having to get up early to get into a television studio or somewhere for work. I used to quite enjoy working on national newspapers because that was a late start and late finish, which suited me. But working on a lunchtime TV program wasn't the best for me in terms of getting up in the morning and actually having my brain work
in the morning.
But I mean, I didn't do too badly, I don't suppose. But it just, had I the choice, the option, I would start later and finish later. And that's what I do now often. And it works much better for me. And so therefore, it's not about feeling that I have work to do. It's not like I'm going down a coal mine, right? And I can actually arrange my day. And what about this notion of, I think a lot of companies are, they're coming around to the idea that flexibility is a good thing. But how does one broach that? If say you're working for a company like the woman that was at your talk, and her boss had no idea and was absolutely open to her being more flexible, but how do you broach that in a normal situation? I mean, I think a lot of people would be pretty scared of approaching their bosses and saying, can I start 2 hours later? Or
and that's like, first of all, it is totally normal to feel uncomfortable with a conversation like that. I think that's something that most people would feel, right? You feel a little bit vulnerable. So I think it's like recognizing you should expect, most likely, unless you have a really great relationship with your boss, to feel a little bit uncomfortable. But I think this comes down to also advocating for yourself and recognizing, like, what are the benefits potentially of me voicing this? And what could I be losing by not? And you have to really look at that and recognize that, if you really want to feel more fulfilled and have this work out, you have to ask. Because the answer is going to be no if you don't ask. Like, it's just not going to, it's not going to happen. It's not going to land in your lap unless you ask, unless you put it out there. So there has to be communication. Recognize it's probably going to be uncomfortable. That is part of it. I think on the side of leaders, like I talk a lot about leadership, and I've done some speaking with leaders about this as well, but it's really the job of the leaders to create a space where there's open communication and where there's trust, and hopefully where there's a level of connection where you have team members that feel safe being able to come to you. So a psychologically safe work environment, so incredibly important. There's been a lot more talk about this in recent years. But, you know, as on the other side, if you're the one going to your team member, I would just say to try and approach it in with a solution in place. Yes. So yeah. Not like, I need to start later. Okay. And what else? So yes. I think it's really just figure out like how present yourself in a positive light, the most positive way to succeed. You know, I've thought about this. I feel like I really can add a lot of value at this time of the day. And, you know, is there any flexibility where if I start at this time, I could work later in the day? And I think just broach the question and come up with a solution. So you're presenting it to them. Like, it's really easy. Like, it would be silly for you to say no, because I mean, this is a win-win for me to be doing this, right? And if you just don't feel comfortable talking to your boss, you know, hopefully there's someone maybe from HR where you could have this discussion, maybe a little bit more confidentially. So I think you just have to, like, again, read the room, you know, read your work environment. But when you do present it with the solution. And again, that it's going to be a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, great advice. Great advice. Just don't go in there demanding to be able to start 2 hours later in the day.
Totally.
Why would I do that for you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you are a mother. You have two children, is it?
Two kids.
Mm-hmm. Two kids. So then I'm thinking of parents, right? And mothers who might be at home and might be juggling work and child rearing, or who are just juggling child rearing and, you know, and life. What kind of things, what advice might you give for people in that situation to just balance their lives?
Well, I think you need help. So you need support. You can't do it all. And I know for me, I went from being a stay-at-home mom for 6 years. And then when I went back to work, in my mind, I still was thinking, I want to do all the things I was doing when I was a stay-at-home mom, but now I'm working. So, you know, I still wanted to handle all of the household things. I wanted to, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I've got to do this. I've got to get the laundry done. I've got to blah, 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 blah. And I quickly realized like there are just not enough hours in the day. So it was about just having those conversations with, you know, whoever is helping you raise your kids and how can you make this work? And then if needed, you know, trying to get support. Now, I know that that's not, it's sometimes easier said than done. But I think what's really important for moms to recognize is that you need to prioritize what the most important things are, and you need to cut yourself a break if things are not getting done. Like if the laundry needs to sit, the laundry needs to sit, and that's okay. So I just like, it takes a little bit of, I guess, feeling it out to try and figure out your flow and to get things in flow. And then when you feel like you've got it all figured out, something happens, your kid gets sick, or, you know, like back when COVID happened, it was like, oh, e-learning, you know, here we go. So,
yeah.
I mean, recognize that stuff's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hiccups are going to happen. You're going to be thrown curveballs. And if you just kind of like accept that, embrace that, and realize you can handle it, you're going to figure it out, that you'll rise to the occasion and be able to navigate whatever comes your way. But, you know, it's not easy. You have to just, again, prioritize the things that are most important to you. And hopefully you have a work environment where you have that open dialogue and where you have that flexibility. And I think that's something that's really valued for parents, is having the flexibility, you know, moms and dads, to be able to be at those important events for their kids, to be present for their kids. So I think, you know, prioritize that, have those conversations with your workplace, and advocate for yourself. So get comfortable having these conversations, presenting it, and like how I talked before, where it's a win-win, you're focused on the solutions, but don't be afraid to ask. And also, you know, set boundaries, like use your out of the office notification. You know, be clear if there's certain times where you're not going to be able to respond to things. Like, set that in place early, and then hopefully, you know, that won't be taken advantage of. I think it can be harder if you've gone down the slippery slope of you always respond to emails at 9 p.m. at night. Then the expectation is, oh, they're able to do it. So it's easier if I talked with someone on my show, and she's a top leader for a group. And she's like, you know, it's always easier for team members if they set it in place in the beginning. So if you're starting something new, you know, try and get this established early. And if you've already kind of gotten into these patterns that don't serve you, then it's starting to implement new ones and being confident and comfortable in approaching that, recognizing, as I said before, doesn't mean you're going to be comfortable having these conversations, but they're important ones to have.
Yes. And again, it's really just retraining yourself to be able to have those conversations, because a lot of us are brought up not being empowered to have those conversations. So it's about just, you know, that making that mindset change, isn't it? So that we can actually do that. And, you know, I'm a bit of a weekend girl. I sometimes don't even open my laptop on a weekend. You know, okay, I might check my emails because you never know. But making work calls, not really. Mm-hmm. Sending work emails, really not either. I will look and think, okay, I'll deal with that on Monday. But, you know, don't expect me to go down some really, you know, long work thing.
Right.
Or, you know, anything at the weekend. Weekends for doing gardening, swimming, you know, catching up on household chores.
Yes. And And I think this is like, we're kind of encompassing right now, JJ, I think what it's about to have fulfillment and kind of this inner balance with navigating your personal and professional life. Like, you have to advocate for yourself. Mm. You have to prioritize. It's not always easy, but I think that's really one of the key answers to being fulfilled.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I do recommend that people watch your TED talk. What's it called again? They can find it on YouTube, can't they?
They can find it on YouTube or TED.com. They have it if they look my name up. And it's Redefining Work-Life Balance in a COVID-19 World.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. And your website, people can go there and find out a little bit more about you and what you do. And that is Living Greatly.
Live greatly.co. So livegreatly.co.
Excellent. So people can go onto your website and find out a lot more about you and what you do. And, you know, your coaching and your corporate coaching as well, because you go into companies and help companies deliver a sort of a balanced approach to their work, if I'm right.
Yeah? I do a lot of speaking now, a lot of keynote speaking and different events, different, you know, team meetings, corporate events or just events in general about different topics. But a lot of the things I talk about are this kind of redefining work-life balance, stress management, happiness at work and in your personal life, you know, kind of figuring all this out. So self-care, leadership. So a lot of these topics that I think are really front and center for a lot of companies and employees and individuals these days.
I think they're front and center for everybody these days. Yes. That personal leadership, that self-leadership is really important today. Well, it's probably always important, but it seems like today it's even more important with everything that's going on in the world. So Crystal, thank you for everything that you do. And thank you for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom with us today. And if anybody's listening, you've piqued their interest, do go along to livegreatly.co and find out more about Crystal. But for now, Crystal, thank you so much for coming on the show. And good luck with everything that's coming up for you. And
thank you so much, JJ.
Well, you're very welcome. Maybe come on another time and talk a little bit more.
I would love that. Thanks again.
Some great advice from Crystal Bauer, an inspiration there on how to create a more balanced life. Do check out her website, livegreatly.co, for more. It's time for another break right now, though. I'll be bouncing right back with my second guest, Kimberly Perry, the founder of a fitness business. We'll be talking about the many benefits of exercising with a mini trampoline. Back right after this from our sponsors.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to, still listening to, Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the practical alchemist, and I'm feeling very bouncy these days since I started using a mini trampoline for a few minutes every day. It's from Kimberly Perry's fitness company called Bounce, and I was intrigued to discover the many benefits of this kind of exercise, particularly for women and women going through menopause and beyond. I had hoped to have started using the equipment before I chatted with Kim, but I'd slipped and fallen and bruised my hip, so I wasn't quite up to it for a few days, even though I knew that it was pretty low-impact exercise. Still, we were able to discuss the benefits, if not my experience with the trampoline, and Kim started by explaining the differences between the kind of trampoline that you and I might find in someone's garden or might have even played on as kids, and these mini trampolines.
So I guess the difference, firstly, between a trampoline that you might have tried in your youth compared to what we do at Bounce is the size. They're about 40 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
And they're formerly known as a rebounder. So that is very different to a larger scale trampoline because you've got more springs around the outside, which creates a more taut jump or movement than those bigger bouncy boingy ones that you had growing up. So
yeah.
Therefore, it simulates a softness like the floor. So you're not really getting a lot of up and down bouncing around, but you are getting a very cushioned movement. So if you imagine simulating the floor but softer, you can see that the most beneficial thing for many people in starting rebounding is the low impact nature. So the trampoline mat that we use at Bounce is going to absorb 87% of impact, meaning it's really comfortable on the joints. So the ankle, the knees, and people tend to start because of those issues with, let's say, running or any sort of high impact sport. If you're doing a lot of walking, it might feel that you get a bit of back pain, long hikes, things like that. So you can achieve a very comfortable level of fitness on a trampoline that we're talking about, a rebounder, compared to pounding the pavement. So that's probably benefit one that people are really excited by, a comfortable but tough workout. The uniqueness about what we do, though, is really the internal benefits. So what you can imagine is, you know, a workout for anyone in any type of sport. Yep, great. All those typical things like aerobic, cardio benefits, etc. But lymphatic drainage is probably the key unique benefit of rebounding. So the lymphatic system is obviously that system that gets rid of dead and cancerous cells within the body, shedding you of waste and toxins that we all need to rid of within the cells. And the lymphatic system doesn't work on its own. You have to physically pump it. So it doesn't just get rid of all of that easily. Day to day, something like vigorous exercise, and particularly up and down on the vertical plane, i.e. jumping, that's going to be the most active way that you can pump the lymphatic system. So to be able to get rid of those dead and cancerous cells with jumping up and down on a soft, flexible surface is really very unique to rebounding or trampoline workouts. I think that's the most exciting thing, to be able to rejuvenate the cells from inside out. And then, of course, those external benefits as well, like tone, muscular improvement, yeah, strength and aerobics as well.
Absolutely. And I did notice, obviously, the increased number of springs around the trampoline. So it's nothing like the trampoline that, for instance, a couple of doors down from me, they have in their garden for the kids. It's nothing like that. And I will try it and I will give it a go. And what I'll do is I'll do another little section on a show in a couple of weeks' time, maybe, and say how it's impacted me. I mean, even with a slightly bruised old hip bone, I do feel that it's not going to be, now that I'm, you know, a few days later, it's not going to be so heavy or hard on my joints. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that might help, even rather than, you know, jarring it. And so what I also noticed from your website is that you do some exercises where you're not even jumping or bouncing. You're literally sort of using the trampoline as a support to do some exercises. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, we have different kind of offerings on the trampoline. We acknowledge that lots of people don't maybe just only want to jump up and down. So there are versions of our class, for example, Bounce Balance, that will focus on like yoga and Pilates based moves on the soft, flexible surface. So you're doing very static things like basically squatting or lunging. You might lift up the trampoline like a weight. So you put your hands around the frame and do some bicep curls. You'll hold it like a ballet bar and stabilize and, you know, change the level, the planes of movement in that sense. But yeah, the body flows and the slower, more meditative music that you can do will slow down the way that you use the trampoline and encourage that lymphatic flow still really positively, but in a different way. You might find people rehabbing from an injury and do the balance-based classes. You might find new mothers or pregnant women trying out those slower classes that we offer. We're really trying to appeal to different demographics with the different styles of workouts that Bounce offers on the mini trampoline. So you've got a lot of people that might be wary of it because, oh, I don't want to jump up and down. I've had four children. I couldn't do that. Or, you know, I couldn't do that with my knees. You know, any comments like that, we've tried to sort of look at the ways that we can still bring the benefits of the rebounder to any age or any ability. And again, the common concern about the pelvic floor is really something that we need to squash. I think this is a great opportunity for me to express that midsection of your core, from the abdominals, the rectus abdominals, the transverse abs, the external internal obliques, they all hammock down and are held by the pelvic floor, which really is a muscle on its own. And if you think about what that muscle and that area in, let's say, the female form goes through with something like childbirth, we really have to work hard to return that muscle to its strength and taut ability. And pelvic floor strengthening with rebounding is a fantastic way to lightly strengthen and improve that muscle without having the jarring or the, you know, the running or the walking that you might have in other types of exercise. So it's very popular for mothers as well.
Well, I know, talking to friends who have done similar kind of work, they absolutely raved about how it strengthens the pelvic floor. And that's only a good thing, especially for older women. You do talk about the benefits for women who are going through menopause or postmenopausal, because the body does change at those times. And we do tend to hold on to more stuff. You know, things start not quite working, or they work differently. And a lot of women put on weight because I think completely without any kind of scientific backing to this at all. But I think because we're not moving as much, we're not draining some of the stuff out of our systems like you're talking about. You know, our lymphatic system isn't working as well. So this is a great way of just, you know, pushing that along a little bit and making it work.
Yeah, I think that the two things with when you're going through the menopause, you're losing muscle mass rapidly. Coinciding with that, you're gaining weight rapidly. And those hormonal imbalances both contribute to you feeling much more sluggish, lethargic, unwilling to exercise. And these factors all put together become a real concern really quickly. So finding an exercise that you enjoy doing that's going to stimulate your mental enjoyment and desire to want to get moving is key. So that's number one, finding something that you're finding fun and enjoyable to go and do is really going to improve your consistency. But the loss of muscle mass really contributes to weight gain. Mm. So we've got to look at improving that. And so doing something that's about not just strength, but conditioning those muscles to tone up and to tighten is another way that we can get people more active through menopause. And rebounding is a great way to do that because you have that soft, low impact, but you can strengthen quite quickly with the resistance of the trampoline. Yeah. Resistance-based workouts are really, really effective for people going through menopause. So something like the springs on the trampoline is going to give you that without actually lifting weights, which may not be everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah, no, it's not. And also because the kind of trampolines that you have, you can store them very easily at home. So you can actually buy one, take it home, bring it out every day and then put it away. They fold up very neatly and go underneath any sort of cupboard or bed or wherever.
Developing a product like the Bounce Trampoline is really, really key for people to have convenient use of. So we have got, it sounds crazy, we have got a round 40-inch diameter of a trampoline that folds into a quarter.
Yeah.
So the legs are spring-loaded. They lay flat onto the mat when you tip it upside down. Then there's some parts of it that fold in half and then some other parts that enable it to fold again. So it looks like a giant pizza shape. It folds into a quarter and can slide underneath the bed or slide underneath the sofa, sit up in the broom cupboard. And once you find a piece of apparatus that you like to exercise on, that's not offensive in the home, that's easy to transport, whether that's outside into the garden on a sunny day or in the spare room or in the middle of the kitchen. If you tick all those boxes, we are going to get more people that are active and interested in exercising. So the Bounce quarter fold trampoline is really a popular piece of equipment for people of any age.
Well, I think it's a great point that you're making. Things have to be convenient. They have to be easily accessible. And although you do have studios, you can go into lots of different studios around the UK, not many in Scotland here, I noticed, but hopefully that might change. In fact, the friends I was with the other day, we were all saying, we need more of this stuff here. We need this here. Yeah. So
we're online as well. Yeah, we're working really hard, obviously, to open up studios, which build that sense of community for people as well.
Yes.
So you're finding a group that you want to be a part of that's, you know, breaking down barriers for women, making it child friendly, as we do in all of our studios, and being open to all ages and abilities, not running beginners or advanced classes.
Yeah.
It really starts to break down those barriers. And what we find is more community spirit, more social interaction. And we are working really hard to spread out throughout the UK and globally. We currently have 350 studios around the UK. So that's quite a lot.
It's really good. Well done. Yeah.
But we find now that the best way to get more growth is to offer our online classes on demand. Yeah. So we've gone virtual, where you can click onto a class at any time in the day that you want to do it, pull out your trampoline from underneath the sofa, get your bottle of water next to you, and even in your lunch break, if you're working from home, you can have a little bounce around and get your aerobic, your cardio exercise up and boost your mood, have a laugh, have it convenient, and have it at a really cost-effective price. So yeah, all of those factors you'll find at bouncefitbody.com. And clearly, if you can get to a class, you're going to find some friendships in that too. It's a really welcoming space.
Well, I like the sound of that, because I'm one of those people who hated going to yoga studios and attending yoga classes, because they weren't particularly, I didn't find, they were particularly welcoming or friendly. You know, there was a lot of posing, and I don't just mean yoga poses, but... And so I would have, at one point, I was having one-on-one at home, you know, because I hated going into a yoga studio. So it sounds fantastic. Mm. You've given us the website, bouncefitbody.com.
Yes.
So people can go on there and find out more about it. And I tell you, Kim, I'm going to start, if you know, I think maybe today I'll start, and I will come back onto the show a little bit later and you know, report back on how it suits me, because I think, especially women of my age, it's difficult for us, and I mean, you know, in that sort of higher age demographic that usually on questionnaires says 55 plus, you know, how old are you? And then it's 55 plus, you know, often, or, right. You know, anyway, that higher age demographic, I think it's very difficult for us sometimes to find something that works for us and that isn't scary.
Mm. Well, I've got you. I'm here for you. And I hear those concerns. I really want you and the listeners to feel welcome, to give something a go, to bring back that lighthearted nature that's within you. Do it in a group, do it at home, but just get moving and do something that you really enjoy.
I think that's key. Thank you so much, Kim. I will report back after I've had a go.
Thanks, JJ. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot. Kim is such a great advert for her work, isn't she? So full of beans. I guess jumping beans, right? But I digress, because I can tell you that I have indeed now started working with the Rebounder, and I'm loving it. And I will report back after a few weeks and let you know how I'm doing. So watch this space. I'll be posting on my blog and social media about how I'm getting on too. So do follow me as The Practical Alchemist on Facebook and Instagram, or subscribe to updates at my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. And that wraps it up for today. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.